Well, good evening. I want to welcome everyone, and we'll get started in just a moment. We went ahead and started the video so people can start hopping on to our live Wednesday night Bible study, which we are studying out of Galatians chapter number 5. I hope everybody has had a good week so far, and we are thankful for the sunshine that we've had just a little bit of. And I know it's supposed to rain a couple of days coming up, and if so, we've got plenty of inside work and things we're working on to keep us busy there, so we'll just try to do the best we can with what we've got. I want to take a moment while people are getting online to remind you about the podcasts that are available, and I've mentioned that several times, but I'm going through Psalms chapter number 23. On Podbean, on Blessings of Liberty, and also Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. All of our messages for this year are on a separate podcast. If you look up Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, or if you look up Blessings of Liberty, you can find both of those. Psalms 23, a lot of people think, well, that's serene and green pastures, and that's not really my cup of tea. But I'm telling you, Psalms 23 applies very much to today. There is danger, there are diseases, there is discouragement, there is injury. There's a lot of things going on, and I'm getting up to verse number 4, somewhere right around in there. So I would like to encourage you to find that, subscribe to that. That's podbean.com. Blessings of Liberty. And so we have that available. Let's pray about our services. I know the governor extended the shelter in place to May the 8th. Some churches are talking about starting back. In fact, it might be different just across the state line in Tennessee. I think there's some churches that are starting to talk about getting together. And I'm going to be talking with some of the men, the deacons, this week, and we will just keep everybody updated. But the way it looks, it may be a while. I don't know. We're just going to pray about it. We really need to trust the Lord and seek His wisdom and guidance. If you have a prayer request you would like to share, put it in the comments. And what we've been doing as a church family is just going down through the comments after the broadcast is over and praying over those comments. There are people that have health problems that are going on. We need to remember them. We need to remember those that are lost. We need to remember those that have lost loved ones, especially during this time. Pray for the healthcare workers. Pray for our leaders. There's always much to pray about. So let's continue to remember one another. So the month of April is almost over, and Sunday will be the first Sunday in May. We usually have our Lord's Supper in the month of May, the last Sunday. I just don't know right now what we are going to be able to do, if anything, at that time, but we just need to be much in prayer. So there's a lot to pray about, no doubt about that. And like we said, hope everybody has had a good week so far and that you're safe and that you're in. I don't know anybody personally that has the COVID virus, but there's a lot of our people that are watching and college students, and they know people, and it's real. And there is definitely, it makes people really sick. Most people get better, but many do not. So let's remember those that are serving, what we might say, on the front lines. Let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter number 5. I'm going to read a few verses over there. I hope you're getting a blessing out of the Bible study. And so we've just continued that right on since the very beginning. We have not missed a Wednesday night. I do want to say, if you know somebody in the church that's not able, maybe they're not signed up to Facebook or Podbean, if you are near them, if you talk to them, offer to help them get started. I went by this week and signed, I got Mom signed up, and so she should be able to watch now, and that was a great blessing to her. She's missed all the messages, all the Bible studies, And so she should be able to get on there and watch now, Lord willing. So lots of prayer requests coming up on the screen. Let's remember all of these as a church family when we pray. I'm going to read in just a moment out of Galatians chapter 5, but I do want to go to the Lord in prayer. First of all, I see, you know, Sister Pam put up, pray for a friend's son who was killed in a car wreck yesterday. How tragic. And a lot of things like that. So let's remember these things in our prayer. So let's pray before we do anything. Father, we come today, and I just want to thank you for your many, many blessings. Thank you for the provisions that we have. Thank you for the safety that we have. Thank you for the health that we have. Thank you, Lord, for our church family, and Lord, that we have the privilege to come and pray. And Lord, your word says, let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And Lord, we are definitely in a time of need in our nation. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety that's going on. There's people that have lost loved ones. There's people that are sick. There's people that have financial difficulties. And Lord, there will be more to come. And so we just come tonight, and I realize that I don't even know how to pray about some things. But Lord, you know what we need. Give us wisdom. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. We pray for that. We pray for Sister Meredith. She's requested prayer. And Lord, with her health and things that are going on. And so there's just a lot of things like that to pray about. Help me tonight. Help us as we look into your word. I'm thankful for the word of God. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we find the answers to life in there. And they come from you. And so we praise your name for that. Thank you for everybody that's watching, everybody that will watch and that is listening. And bless our time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And amen. So we are Bible study. One more time, the book of Galatians. This is the 20th lesson in the book of Galatians. And I am really getting a lot out of it, and especially studying it. And then you try to preach it as well and teach it as well. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16, down through verse number 21 is what we're going to read and study tonight. Paul said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So this is a very serious passage of Scripture. A lot of good instruction can be found in these verses, and we're going to look at them tonight. Now, remember when we started studying chapter number 5, at the very beginning I asked a question. And the question I put before you was, what does faith lived out in the life of a true Christian look like? What does faith lived out in the life of a true Christian look like? And we gave the answer to that. What does faith lived out look like? Does it look religious, like the Sadducees and the Pharisees? Does it look like a liberty that just does anything, the flesh? Does it say, you know, I'm under grace so I can do anything I want? No. It doesn't look super religious, and it doesn't look super fleshly. It looks like the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our life ought to look like. Our life should mimic His life. Now, look what it says in verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The life of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see Him in the Gospels, is a life that was lived. We could say, what does it look like to walk in the Spirit? Well, look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it looks like. a life lived under the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit looks like the life of Jesus. So you notice we have a theme here. Live like Jesus, look like Jesus, imitate the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked in the Spirit. The Bible says in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, and this is at the very beginning of his earthly ministry, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, it said, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him." The Holy Spirit, present from the very beginning of his earthly ministry. After his temptation in the wilderness, that's the next thing happened. He was baptized by John. He was carried away into the wilderness. He was tempted by Satan 40 days, 40 nights. And at the end of that, Luke 4:14, it said, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee." His whole life was led and under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us, the same Holy Spirit, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of people that do not know the Bible, they have a lot of misunderstanding about, you know, who Jesus was and how he lived. And a lot of people think about Jesus, you know, and they think about, well, he was a spiritual guru of some kind, and he must have sort of lived like a hermit. Maybe he lived in a cave and up on a mountain. You know, you see cartoons and television shows and things like that, and you know, the guru, you know, he's got a few disciples that hang around, and those that have questions have to scale the side of a mountain and climb and claw up, and you know, they'll get up there and they ask some profound question, and the spiritual guru has the answer and all like that. That is so far removed from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that it's funny. To think about that, that is not how the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life. His life lived out, and I'm reading through the Gospels right now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. His life could be characterized by a walk. I mean, he went everywhere. They walked everywhere. They were constantly moving and going, and they very little, as you read in the gospel, spent time in one place. His life was a very active life. And let me say, God has not called us to go somewhere, hide up on some mountain, build a big fence around it, keep everybody out, and, sit in there by ourselves and burn candles and think about God all the time. God's not called us to live that kind of life. One of isolation and very little interaction. Our life should be characterized, like Jesus, as a walk. And we are to walk in this world, and as we walk and are active in this world, we are to be full of, led by, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The word walk there in verse number 16, it comes from a word which means walk up and down. And it comes from, in the Greek language, the teachers and the philosophers and those that had disciples, as they would teach, they would do that, and they would walk up and down and teach. Now, I do that more at church than I'm able to do at home, because if I walk very far, I would get out of you wouldn't be able to see me. But I tend to walk back and forth. That's where that word comes from. Well, the life of the Lord Jesus was walked back and forth all over the land of Galilee, where he was, all over the promised land. And he went and he ministered and he taught and he healed. And Acts chapter 10, verse number 38 says that he went about doing good. His walk was an active walk, just like our walk should be a active walk, a life of action. Is the life that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us into. Walk in the Spirit. Now, the Christian life is an active life. And this life, this walk that we're called to, this walk actually has two options. We find those in verse 16. Walk number one, option number one. This is the best option. This is the one we should want. Walk in the Spirit. That's option number one. Option number two, if you'll walk in the Spirit, the other option, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That other is to try to walk in the power and the energy of the flesh. So we are going to do one or the other. We're going to walk in the Spirit or we're going to walk in the flesh. This is the only two options there are. We're going to do one or we're going to do the other. Now the Galatians, as we've covered many, many times, they were in error. They were in error. They were trying to produce a spiritual walk in the power of the flesh. And that is impossible to do. You cannot produce a spiritual walk, a Spirit-led walk, in the power and in the energy of the flesh. Now, I want to remind you also, they were not living in gross immorality as far as we know. The Apostle Paul, the only place that is mentioned is here in these verses, and he is describing what the works of the flesh look like. But he never says that they were living this way. They were trying to live in morality by keeping the law. But we need to understand this. The law does not produce morality. The law, now listen close to how I said that. The law does not produce morality. All the law does is simply outwardly repress immorality. It holds it, it suppresses immorality, outwardly speaking. So outwardly speaking, you can live according to the law and look pretty good. But I want to read a verse over in the book of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter number 23 and verse number 27. And Jesus was talking to the Pharisees over there. Now they're all for keeping the law. I mean, they're sticklers about it. But here's what Jesus said about those who are trying to live a spiritual life in the power of the flesh. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." A hypocrite is where we get our word actor from. Think about Hollywood. Somebody that makes a living trying to pretend to be something they're not. That's what a hypocrite is. He called them hypocrites. You're pretending to be something you're not. That's what he was telling them. He said, "For ye are like unto whited sepulchres." That is a place where you bury dead people. "Which indeed appear beautiful outward." Outward, you ever been to the mausoleum? Outwardly, it looks nice. That's what Jesus is telling the Pharisees. Outwardly, you look pretty good. He said, "But are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." They were trying to walk a spiritual walk in the power and the energy of the flesh. And Jesus said, "You look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're dead and you're unclean." The Pharisees, in their thoughts and in their motives, were wicked. They were ungodly. But outwardly, they looked pretty good. So the heir of the Galatians is trying to have a spiritual walk in the power and in the energy of the flesh. They had this negative goodness. Don't do this. And man, if you read the Gospels, they had a lot of things. You know, they had laws about washing plates and washing your hands and, before you eat and how far you could walk on the Sabbath day and all these things. They had all kinds of things that they did not do. But on the inside, they were dead. And let me also say that the law does not eradicate sin. A lot of people are trying to, thinking that they can live in the power and the energy of the flesh and eradicate sin or get rid of sin. You can't do that either. There's two options in verse 16. We're either going to walk in the Spirit and if we'll do that, the Bible says, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the lust of the flesh is always going to be there as long as you live in this body. Now, the law, I was thinking about this today, the law is sort of like Roundup. It's spiritual Roundup. The law is spiritual Roundup. You put it on heavy enough, and often enough, and it will suppress. It will kill. That's what it does. The law kills. That's the nature of it, even in the Bible. But although it will kill and it will suppress outwardly, and we'll look and we'll say, all right, there's no weeds there. It will do that for a time, but it doesn't produce anything. The law produces nothing because the letter killeth. That is what the Bible says. And given the opportunity, those of you that use Roundup, if you don't do it on a regular basis, guess what comes back? What you tried to kill and what you tried to get rid of. And that's how the flesh is. You can suppress it for a time. You can cover it up for a time, but given the right circumstances, here it comes. Here it comes back. The works of the flesh. Jesus said, or Paul, the Apostle Paul, he is talking about the ministry, a spiritual versus a legal ministry. Same thing he's covering in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. He's talking about the ministry. And he says this in verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. That's where we get that from. The letter, or the law, killeth, is what the Bible says. And so, in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit produces, the flesh, or the letter, kills. That's what it does, according to the Bible. So, the key to spiritual victory in our lives, how do we walk? What should our walk of faith look like? The key to spiritual victory is not to lock oneself away and chain ourselves down and say, don't think anything bad, don't say anything bad, don't do anything bad, don't. The key is a Spirit-filled walk. If we will walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The life walked in the Spirit is characterized by liberty, and it is characterized by fruitfulness. And we'll see that, Lord willing, next week, the fruit of the Spirit. A Spirit-filled life produces something. A legal-led life produces nothing. It just suppresses outwardly these works of the flesh. But now again, the Pharisees on the inside, they were wicked. They were ungodly. They had murder and hatred and adultery and everything else on there. You know, you read the Gospels, you'll find they were into everything. They were not immune from immorality, even though on the outside they looked pretty good. And that you read Matthew chapter 23 and Matthew chapter number 24. Now let's go on down. Look what it says in verse number 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, notice some particulars here in verse number 17. The Bible says these are contrary the one to the other. So, the flesh and the Spirit, they're contrary the one to the other. They oppose one another. The word contrary there, it literally means this, to lay opposite of one another. Think about a game of checkers. On one side you got the red, and on one side you got the black. Think about a game of chess. You got the white army and the black army against one another. They lie opposite one another in our lives. Lying opposite one another. You've got the Spirit and you've got the flesh. You've got these two things. They are contrary. Just because you're saved, and even though you may walk in the Spirit, it does not mean that the old nature doesn't exist. The old nature still exists. The question is this: which one is going to dominate in our lives? Which one is going to manifest? The works of the flesh are the fruit of the Spirit. The old man or the new man. Now, this story's been told 1,000 times, and I've told it 900 of those times. I've read it from all kinds of different books and commentaries, and however it really is, there's a story. You know, the missionary goes to the Indian chief who had gotten saved, and he doesn't, you know all the Bible language and have it down. And he asks the chief, you know, how's your spiritual life coming along? You know, he'd gotten saved. And he said, and here's the analogy, he said, well, I find in me now there's a white dog and a black dog. There's good and there's evil, and they're continually fighting with each other. And the missionary asked the question, you know, well, which one is winning? And he said, the one I feed the most. And the reason I've told that so many times, and so many other preachers and teachers have told that, is because it illustrates a great spiritual truth. You know, which one do we feed the most? Do we feed the spiritual man, or do we feed the natural man? If you feed the natural man, the natural things are going to come out. If you feed the spiritual man, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so this walking in the Spirit, taking care of the things of the Spirit of God, are of utmost importance in our spiritual lives. Now, look at verse 17 again. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's this continual battle that's going on. These are contrary the one to the other. They're lying on opposite sides. They're continually battling in our innermost beings. Look what he says, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. Now, the Apostle Paul covers the same thoughts in the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 7, he talks about this same, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. And a child of God, you know, there's the desire there, but we don't always follow the right desire. Paul put it like this in Romans 7:18, and that's that passage of scripture I've said many times, that'd be hard to memorize. I want to do good, but I'm not able to do that. I never have been able to memorize that, but I'll read you verse number 18. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. He said in Romans chapter number 7, I have a desire to do right. I want to do right, but I find it so hard. He said, I find not. Well, how did he get there? He gets on over into Romans chapter number 8, which is all about the Spirit of God working in our lives. That's how. It's not by the power and the energy of the flesh. The Spirit of God has got to have His way in my life, or I am not going to walk, I'm going to walk and I'm going to manifest the sins of the flesh. And so he said, so I cannot do the things that you would. I'll come back to that just a little bit toward the end. Look at verse number 18, what he says. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now I've really been looking and thinking hard about this teaching of being led of the Spirit. Now, verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit. Verse 18 says, be led by the Spirit of God. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. And if there's ever been a time where this world needed Christians that were walking in the Spirit, that were full of the Spirit, that were led by the Spirit of God to know what to do, what to say, what actions to take, we really, really need to be led by the Spirit of God. Uncertain times, times of fear, times of anxiety, all of these things, we don't know what to do. I've never in all my life seen such a time where I just don't know what to do. There's a lot of things right now as a pastor, leading a church or not, you know, the word church means assemble. We've got to be led by the Spirit of God. That's, you know, the government doesn't have the answer to what to do. I'm not going to get off on that. You know, you don't know what to believe sometimes. The one that does is the Lord. We got to be led by the Spirit of God. He said in verse number 18, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Praise the Lord for that. We've covered that many, many times. Verse number 19, we've asked the question, what does faith lived out in the life of a Christian look like? Well, we're going to start in verse number 19. Here's what it doesn't look like. Here's what it doesn't look like. I can tell you that. Now, the works of the flesh, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he goes down through here, and I am going to go down through all of these. I think a lot of times we just read through something, oh yeah, that's all bad. But the works of the flesh, he mentions 17 things. And then at the end, he says, and such like. These are not all the works of the flesh, but here's a good starter list. And this list can actually be broken down into four categories. So if you're one that takes notes, you'll probably want to write this down. These 17 things down verse 19 down through 21. There's four categories. Number one, there are sensual sins. Sensual as in sexual sins. And I'm not going to go into great detail. I realize tonight that many families sit down and watch together. Their children are there. But just quickly, I'll go over some of these things, what it's talking about. First of all, there's sensual sins. Verse number 19, the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery. Adultery is mentioned first. This is one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. The word adultery, it means this, to break wedlock. To break wedlock. I was reading just this morning, I said I'm reading through the Gospels, and just I noticed this as being odd because it doesn't relate a whole lot to the verses before or after. It's just in here. Luke chapter 16, verse number 18, it said, whosoever, here's what breaking wedlock is, by the way. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. He said, boy, preacher, adultery, that's bad. Well, it is, but what that is teaching us is the seriousness of the marriage covenant. What is bad is breaking the marriage covenant. That's why you better be real careful who you, I'm air quoting, fall in love with, get married to, and all like that. It has, for the rest of your life, repercussions. And so marriage, the marriage covenant, God takes it very, very seriously. And to break that is to commit adultery. That is what that means. Then it goes on down, verse number 19, after adultery, fornication. So these are sexual sins, we could say, sensual sins. The word literally means this, harlotry or prostitution. It's the world's oldest occupation, they say. I don't know, I haven't been here the whole history of the world, but I'll tell you, it's been around a long time. Sexual sins. Fornication is what that literally means. Harlotry, that includes adultery. That includes incest, sexual sins. The next one is uncleanness. Uncleanness means impurity. Sexual sins, including pornography. That's a sin. All these are works of the flesh. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 28, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So you don't even have to talk to, you don't even have to touch. But Jesus said just to look on a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery. That would come under uncleanness, adultery. The next thing is lasciviousness. That's a hard one to say. Try to pronounce that. Lasciviousness. And what it means is this. Brutality, sadism. There's a lot of kinds of sexual perversion in the day and time in which we live. And all the rest would come under that. And like I said, I know there's children watching. But there's all kinds of sexual sins or sensual sins. there are religious sins. Look in verse number 20. He begins, he says, idolatry. Idolatry is simply this, the worship of idols. Well, you might say, well, preacher, we don't do that. You know, we don't have statues, little statues sitting around in our home and pray and burn incense and all those kinds of things. But idolatry is the worship of idols. It could be a statue. It could be a tree. You know, last week was Earth Day. There's a lot of people worship the earth. That's what it says in Romans chapter 1. They serve the creature more than the creator. That's idolatry. You could worship money. You can worship anything. You can worship sports. You know, the NFL claimed once upon a time they had their own Sunday. Well, they did have. Man, can you even fathom yet all the sports that for right now are gone? No baseball, no golf, no basketball finals, all that stuff. Racing, big money. People worship these things. Well, you could worship anything. The love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. So there's idolatry. There is witchcraft. Witchcraft, that word is very interesting. It's where we get our word pharmacy from. You say, oh no, I work at the pharmacy and the preacher's preaching about me. I'm not. But a lot of pagan worship, satanic worship, is aided by drugs. Mind-altering drugs. So when you find witchcraft and sorcery in the Bible, those words, most of the time it comes from that word pharmakeia, which is where we get our word pharmacy, which is talking about drugs and drug use. And let me say, there's legal and illegal drugs. You know, I'm not saying don't take your blood pressure medicine. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's a lot of mind-altering drugs out there today. That's what they do. They alter the way you think. We need to be careful what we take into our bodies. We just need to be aware of that. Of course, we realize alcohol is a drug, you know. And Proverbs chapter number 23, the Bible talks about over there that the influence of alcohol, you will think things and say things and do things you would not otherwise do. That's what drugs do to you. You let down your guard. You start saying things and doing things you otherwise wouldn't do. Witchcraft, hatred, that is enmity, having a strong hatred for somebody. They are your enemy. Variance, contentions, quarrels. You know, you can get quarrels and contentions in a church. That's work of the flesh. The Bible tells us that by pride cometh contentions. Only by pride cometh contentions. That's what it says. You mean all contention and division is caused by pride? That's what the Bible says. Look it up. It's in the book of Proverbs, and I can't remember it right off the top of my head. Variance. Then there's social sins. Number 3 category. So there's sensual sins. There's religious sins. There is social sins. We could just put out to the side politics right here. As you think about our country, how divided and quarrelsome we are. Look at all these things. I'm still in verse 20. Variance. I just covered that. The next thing is emulations. That's rivalry. Rivalry. Jealousy. Wrath. Hot temper. You ever blow up at somebody? Strife, the Bible says. That's factions, cliques. Our country's rife with these things. Seditions, which means divisions. Man, I miss the days you could just go get a cup of coffee and you weren't making a political statement. You know, if you go to Starbucks, if you go to Dunkin' Donuts, if you go to Chick-fil-A, if you go to McDonald's, if you go to Target, if you go to Walmart, all these corporations and the money that they throw at the different organizations that they support, and all of a sudden you can't even go and buy something. Which you seditions, division, so much division in our country. Heresies, that's party spirit. Democrats and the Republicans, What do you think about it? I think they're both rotten. That'd help all of us. We just realize that. They're all rotten. They all need to be sent home. Heresies. Envyings. We look on down. Envy means envy. You know, the green-eyed monster. Murders. Well, you know what murder is. And so that is a work of the flesh. And then there's personal sins. We look on down. There's drunkenness. Say, preacher, what's that mean? It means exactly what it means. Well, how much do you have to drink to get drunk? How much do you have to drink to get a DUI? You know the old commercial, or really it's a recent commercial, buzzed driving is drunk driving. And people say all the time, oh, preacher, I don't get drunk. How drunk is drunk? It's not. It doesn't say you got to fall in the ditch to be drunk. You pull the policeman over and tell him that. Oh, you know, just a buzz. Well, according to the law, it's drunkenness. Of course, there are varying stages. I realize that. There is fall down and there, you know. Drunkenness, and then there is the last thing that's mentioned, reveling. We would say, our society would say, that's partying, that's carousing around, and all of those things. And then look what he says after there, and such like. There are many other things that could be added to that. But what are these things? They are the works of the flesh. Now, look what he's saying in verse number 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Anything like, there's all kinds of things we could mention. He said, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I've got underlined in my Bible, which do such things. That indicates continuous action. Somebody that does and does and does these things. People read this and say, if you do that, you're not going to heaven. Well, if you're honest, if you've been saved any amount of time, you've probably done any number of these things. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you've not done these things without the conviction that you're doing wrong. If you can do these things and there's no contrary, you're lost. I'm not going to say you're probably lost. You're lost. I've been saved 41 years. I've done a lot of things in here that I shouldn't do, shouldn't have done. But I've never done any of these things without the conviction. That's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Not since the Spirit of God came in. You see, these things are contrary the one to the other. And he said in verse number 17, he said, so that you cannot do the things that you would, the things you used to do. If you can still do all those things and it doesn't bother you, you're not saved. You don't have the Lord Jesus in your heart, because when he comes in, when the Holy Spirit comes in, there is a check there. You may go out and do any number of things, but if you're a child of God, there's going to be a conviction. There's going to be a pricked conscience there. There's going to be a knowledge, a feeling in your heart, this is not right, this is not good, I'm not right with God. The prodigal son did go down into the pig pen. You know, he went out into the world. Prodigal means waster. And he went out and he wasted all of those things. And people say, see there, he lost his salvation. But you got to think about the prodigal son. He didn't stay down there. The Bible says he came to himself. There was a contrary in his life, and he came to himself one day, and he said, you know, in my Father's house, you know, he woke up one day and he said, what in the world am I doing in this stinking pig pen? I'm going home. I love that. And he went home, and there's his dad was looking for him the whole time. All the time, the Father was the Father, and the son was the son. And when he saw the son, he went and he fell on his neck and he kissed him and he put the robe and the shoes and the ring all back on his foot. All of us, if you got any honesty in your heart at all, you would say tonight, since I've been saved, I've done things I shouldn't have done. Why? I wished I wouldn't. Because that flesh is still flesh. See, this part here is not saved. When you die, we're going to take that out. I might be next. We don't know. That'll be taken out and buried. That doesn't go to heaven. This flesh doesn't go to heaven. To be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, that's where your spirit, that's where your soul goes. And then at the resurrection, you get a new body. And it won't be this old sinful body. We won't have to fight against these works of the flesh anymore. Praise the Lord for that. And so, if you don't have a contrary in your life, I'd ask myself the question, am I really saved? The Bible says, if we can do these works of the flesh and we do these things continuously, the Bible says that they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What's Paul saying there? He's saying you're not saved. If you can do these things and there's no contrary in your life, you are not saved. And so, for the child of God, and this is a blessing, there's that contrary there. If you'd walk in the Spirit, you'd not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You say, preacher, I have such a hard time. If you'd walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, he's not done talking about the Spirit, and I'm not done either, Lord willing. I am going to come back to these things. But after you're saved, you just can't sin and enjoy it. If you can sin and enjoy it, then something is not right in your heart and in your life. So what I want us to focus on and look forward to is what he begins to talk about next week when he talks about this fruit of the Spirit. If you're a child of God, what will manifest in your life is the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit produces something in our lives. The letter kills, the law kills, but the Spirit produces. We got to learn to yield to walk in, to be led by and full of the Spirit of God. And so we're really getting into some exciting things in Galatians in the rest of these verses and in chapter number 6, because he mentions the Spirit of God over and over and over again. So that's what we have to look forward to. So I do appreciate you listening tonight. It's already almost dark outside and it's been raining and bad. And so we realize that, but I'm thankful for a warm house, a good place. And you know, we can meet, be safe, fellowship together, not like we're used to, but the Spirit of God, he can make it real in our hearts and in our lives. And so I'm so thankful for that. Let's remember to pray one for another. Remember to tell somebody else about our service online Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Lord willing, we'll be right back here. So let's remember the special objects of prayer. We will, as a family, I'm talking about my family, we'll go down through the comments that have been made, and we have a time of prayer together, and we've been enjoying that. And so I ask that you would do that as well. So thank you so much for listening in. And let's pray one for another and pray for our nation and have a good rest of the week. And God bless you.